Good morning. It is a delight to be able to be here with you folks today. I am so thankful that you have come, many of you long distances, to be with us, and we're trusting that God will do a great work in all of our hearts during the day today, helping us be able to see the need of a ministry that needs to be done. My session is being called A Call to Hear, A Coalition of the Willing. In your red folder, in the left-hand pocket, there is a sheet that at the top has that title and my name, and a bunch of blanks. Why a bunch of blanks? Well, it's early in the morning, and I want to help you be able to stay awake, so I'm going to let you fill in the blanks as I'm talking through the different things, and be able to share with you what God has laid on my heart to be able to challenge you in the area of reaching out to the fatherless, as well as seeing opportunities that there are of working together with others to accomplish the work that God has given to us to do. Because we can't do it by ourselves. And if we don't band together, we're not going to get the job done. And I believe one day we're going to answer to God for that, and we need to be careful that we're willing to do what needs to be done. Coalition of the willing. Let's define our terms. We could say a lot of words, but if we're not all talking about the same idea, then we're going to be off in different areas and we're never going to get together and get things done. So, what is a coalition? I see that as the action or process of joining together with another or others for a common purpose. We're going to work together. It's just a matter of our bringing ourselves to a position where we're willing to say, I want to work with somebody else, and I'm willing to do that. There are reasons that we get together in a coalition, and there are certain parameters that we establish to make sure that we're in agreement so we can work together, but a coalition is simply the matter of people getting together to get a job done. The willing, those are the ready, the eager, those who are prepared to do something. They're willing to get the job done. And when you get willing people together to do some work, it's amazing what God can accomplish through everyone that way. So those are the things that we're talking about as we talk about a coalition of the willing. Luke 24:47 says that repentance and remission of sin should be preached to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We have a responsibility to give out the word of God to the whole world. The thing is, none of us can reach the whole world by ourselves. But I like the way Jesus started, beginning at Jerusalem. Jerusalem, where is that? Easy answer. It's right where you are. It doesn't matter a geographical location. It's right where you are. We begin reaching the world where we are right now. So think about where God has put you. That's your Jerusalem. For me, my Jerusalem is the Outer Banks of North Carolina. That's right on the coast in northeastern North Carolina. That's where I live. Why do you live on the coast? Well, that's where the office of the mission is. And the general director has to be at the office. And God called me to be the general director of the mission. So I have to live there. Don't hold it against me. You live in Montana. It's beautiful out here. This is my first trip here. And I have enjoyed seeing the beauty. I realize it's not a long trip from the airport over here, but it's a tremendous view. And I hope to be able to see more while I'm here this weekend. And I'm hoping to be able to get back other times. I mean, it's worthwhile coming back. But your Jerusalem is where God puts you. For a while, my Jerusalem was in São Paulo, Brazil, a city of 20 million people. you think your town is big. And we came to a place, my wife's health was breaking because of certain conditions in the city. The doctor said, you've got to move. And I thank God that he allowed us to move to a small town of only 2 million in Curitiba. And that's where we did our ministry in Brazil, between those two cities. Then in 2003, our daughter had cancer, and we had to move back to the United States for her treatment. Before I forget to say anything, she is well. 5 months after she began treatment, the doctor said, I can't find any more cancer. She's cancer-free. But I believe God used that to change our ministry focus. And we lived in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I worked with Bible Translation and that ministry for 9 years before God called us to work with Baptist Home Missions. Each one of those places was my Jerusalem. Jerusalem is right where you are. There's some important elements of forming a coalition of the willing, and some elements that we need to understand to be able to accomplish the work effectively for God. The first thing I'll bring to your attention is the fact that we need a vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, that vision is talking about revelation, specifically God revealing himself to us. And God allowing us to see who he is and what he wants to see done. When I see God for who he is, I have in my heart what God has in his heart. When I see God for who he is, I see the world as God sees the world. When I have a revelation of God, I think about the world as God thinks about the world. And I understand man as God understands man. He's a living soul. I need a vision to be able to accomplish that work. We all need that. And when we have a vision, God is able to take that and develop it and to help us hone in and accomplish the work that he puts in our hands to do. Those of you who are pastoring a church have a common thing that you are doing in that you are leading a church for the glory of God. You're preaching the word of God. You're working with the people that God has given to you to build them up in their faith. You're helping your people see and work with them, and you yourself are going out into the community to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're all doing a common thing, but each one of you is going to do it a little bit differently. You know why? You're all different. Isn't God's diversity wonderful? But even with all that diversity, we are able to work together to accomplish the work that God needs done here in the world. And so we need a vision. What are the things that we need to see? We need to see lost souls. We need to see people who need a Savior. We really need to see them. I emphasize that because too often it's easy to become involved with the work that we're doing. Some of you men work outside jobs to be able to supplement your income so that your families can live, and you're pastoring a church, and you're being a husband, and you're being a father. Where's your time to do anything else? It's hard. And it's easy to lose that vision for lost souls. We need to have that vision. We need to have a vision of the judgment seat of Christ. It should compel us to want to do the things that God commands that we should do. And we need to understand that one day we will stand before him. And we will give an answer for those things that were done in the flesh. We need to have that vision. We need to have a vision of the horrors of hell. When Jesus taught on hell, if you look through the New Testament, you will find that he was not teaching the lost about hell. He was teaching believers, his disciples, those that were following him, so that they would understand this is what's going to happen. And you need to get out there and let people know there's a Savior. They don't have to go through that. But he emphasized it to those who were with him because he knew they needed that vision. Because without that, we don't understand sometimes how horrible it can be. We forget as we live our lives that hell is really a horror. We need to have a vision of the church and its importance. We are living in a period of time that Jesus Christ said that he will work through his church to be able to accomplish his work. And I'm not here to create a controversy for you. I'm just going to state my position as I'm talking about this. We're not here to build the kingdom. We're not here to bring in the kingdom. We are here to see the church of Jesus Christ go forward. That's how Jesus chose to work during this period of time. And so we need to understand the importance of the church and have that vision and realize that the church becomes that central place to be able to do whatever work needs to be done. Forget Them Not Ministries is not a church. They'll be the first ones to tell you that. Because they understand the importance of the church. Rock of Ages Prison Ministries is not a church. But it is a ministry that works to accomplish the work of the church and carry out the gospel. Baptist Home Missions is not a church. We are simply an arm that will assist the local church to get the missionaries out to the field and to help the missionaries accomplish the work that needs to be done. I don't make decisions for the missionaries. I've had some missionaries call up and say, "Brother Bob, what do I do?" First question I ask whenever they ask me that question, "Have you talked to your pastor about this?" No, I said, "I can't talk to you. You got to talk to your pastor." "And I'll talk to your pastor, and then together, the three of us will come up with a solution." I had one pastor one day tell me, "You're the mission board. You tell me what to do." I said, "No, sir, I can't do that. The Word of God doesn't give me the privilege of doing that." Wow. I've never had a mission board tell me that before. Let's talk about it then. He never thought about it. He thought it was somebody else's responsibility. I'm telling you, the church is what's primary. And that's what we need to work and have a vision of. And then we need to keep our vision of Jesus Christ. We need to look to our Savior. To see him. And the work that he accomplished for us on the cross. And to be able to see how God, through Jesus Christ, gave us salvation. And how God, through Jesus Christ, gives us the hope of glory and that which we need day by day to do the work that God gives us to do. We need a vision. With that vision, then we're able to see clearly what God wants done. And it's our goal through the day today that you will catch a vision of a need that is out there in our communities that a lot of times we don't see. And it's our prayer that God would allow you to see something you can do to make a difference. Some will be able to do more than others. Some will be able to accomplish more than others, partly because of personality, partly because of where they are, partly because of the opportunities that are put before them. But I believe that all of us can make a difference when we have a vision. And working together, we can get so much more done. And that's what we're working to accomplish. It starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. Nothing this side of heaven can be accomplished without prayer. It is God who does the work. He has given us the invitation and the privilege to enter boldly into His throne room and stand. And when we get there, we just can't stand anymore, and we fall prostrate before the throne of grace. And we're able to share with God our heart. It is prayer that'll make the difference. But what are we praying for? Praying for personnel. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So what's the answer? How do we get the job done? Well, let's sit down and make out a 5-year plan, and let's figure out exactly what we could do this year and then add to it. No. Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray that God would send workers. One thing I know, if we could get 100 good men to come to Montana to help plant churches to reach this state for the Lord Jesus Christ, we still have a lot of work to do, wouldn't we? But is it possible to get workers to come to Montana to reach people here for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, did Jesus die for people in Montana? And does He care about their souls? Is there a harvest that truly is plenteous? The answer was given. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He'd send forth laborers into the harvest. How are we going to reach the fatherless? We need to pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest. We need to pray for open doors. We need to pray for open doors. Because if we don't find those open doors and go through them, we're not going to be able to get the job done. Sometimes when we're praying, we're just simply asking God to take the scales off our eyes so we can see. Because the doors are right there. We just never saw them before. I've got a friend in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And there were a couple of communities that he saw that something had to be done. He didn't know what could be done. He's teaching at a Bible college. And he said, something's got to be done. And one day he woke up. And he told his wife, I've got to do it. Do what? We're going to start a church over in that community. He had just never seen it before in that light. And he saw an open door, and they started going through it. And God has given them great opportunities. Opportunities to reach the fatherless. To be able to make a difference in a community. We need to pray for souls. Pray for souls that God would save people. Let me tell you some of the things that have happened in Winston-Salem. The community is called Easton, and Easton is a mixed cultural area. Easton is also a high crime area, a lot of drugs, a lot of thievery. Not so much killing, but it's not a safe area. Many of the kids, yea, verily, most of the kids do not know who their fathers are. And they, as a church, began to realize, we got to do something to help. And they invite the kids into church, and they pick them up in the church van, bring them and take them home. And they noticed the kids were lethargic, miserable. And I found out that one of the reasons they were so lethargic and feeling miserable is because they were hungry. Physically hungry. Some of the kids hadn't eaten since they were in school on Friday. Because nobody at home is cooking for them. Nobody's fixing anything for them. So the church made it a point. We already have our time of fellowship between Sunday school and the morning service. The kids can continue eating the donuts and the bagels and all that kind of good stuff. But the kids enjoy it. But then they feed them a hot meal before they take them home. And they've got families in the church that are responsible every week to fix a meal, to give those kids food so that they have something to eat. They have food in their stomach before they go home. If there's something in the church that doesn't work out to give a hot meal, they have a good sack lunch for them to take home. They provide a meal. You know what that has done? They go and visit the parents or the moms or whoever they can find at home. Oh, yeah, you're the church that feeds our kids. Thank you. Yeah, we'll talk to you. Do you realize what that little piece of love that they give to them does? Now, it may not sound like a lot, but it's a step toward reaching the fatherless. They have some of the young people in their church, little kids when they first started, and they've grown, but they've gotten some phone calls along the way. They had one particular young lady that I think of right now. Her name is Mina, Wilhelmina. She's a black young lady. She went home one day, and her grandmother, with whom she lived, said, "Pack your stuff. You're out of here. I found your brother with drugs, and I'm not going to have that stuff in here, so both of you, you're out of here." Mina had no place to go. What is she going to do? She called one of the families from church and said, "This is what's going on." They said, "Mina, it's all right." They went and got her things. They took her home, called the pastors and said, "What do we do?" The pastor said, "All right, we'll go talk to the grandmother." And they went over, talked with her. And the grandmother said, "Look, I can't have her in the house. It just isn't going to work anymore." And they said, "Okay. We have a family in our church that will take her in. We need you to sign this paper saying that the guardianship is being transferred." Had to cover those legal bases. She signed it willingly, and Mina moved in with the Stewart family. The Stewarts already had four children of their own. But they have taken Mina in and made her as if she was one of their daughters. I watched a shy, backward girl who really wasn't knowing how to do much in life develop and continue to develop into a beautiful young lady whose desire now is to serve the Lord with her life. When they first got her, they decided to take her out of the public school and homeschool her. Mina was at least three grades behind where she should have been. They worked with her. They worked diligently with her. She was able to get caught up at grade level and beyond in a matter of 2 years. And she's looking at going to Bible college next year. Amen. The grandmother is willing to listen to somebody coming by and sharing the gospel. What made the difference? Somebody had an interest in her life because they've been praying that God would open doors and give them souls. And they have done that in numerous families in the Easton community. It starts with prayer. Praying that God would open doors and give opportunity. And he can do the same thing for you. Maybe part of your prayer needs to be before this and say, "Lord, give me a love. Open my heart." But we need to pray. Any ministry like this takes money. Let's just face the nitty-gritty and let's understand it's going to cost something, okay? whether it be in monthly support, whether it be in project support, somewhere we've got to be able to support these ministries. We've got to be able to help fund this. Well, brother, that took care of that, didn't it? It ain't happening in my place. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He can give you what you need to have to accomplish the work that he wants you to do. It's a matter of trusting him. And it's a matter of growing in faith. And it doesn't matter what stage we are in our growth as a believer in Jesus Christ, we all still have growing to do. Last year, I'll be honest, last year, I wasn't sure about Baptist Home Missions. I'm going to be honest. When I came in, they told me, we're struggling, brother. You're going to be the one to build it back up. Okay? They said, just give us 3 years. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and nobody's going to blame you for not doing your job. But give it at least 3 years. Well, praise God, I've been there 5 years. We're still going. But last year, I had to sit down with the board of directors and just tell them, gentlemen, looking at the budget, looking at the income, looking at what's in the bank, unless something changes, we have 11 months to operate and we'll be broke. Just telling you how facts and figures are. And I, in my mind, in my heart, was preparing, how do I shut this down with dignity and with grace? So I don't want it to be a shame to the testimony of God, but I don't want it to be something that just all of a sudden, oh, what happened? We didn't know this was happening. Through this year, God has rebuked me and help me grow in my faith, because we're getting ready to have our annual meeting again in about a month. And I'm going to sit down with the board and say, gentlemen, based on the budget and based on the income and based on what we have in the bank, we've got about 11 months to operate. And when I thought about those very words, you know what came to my mind? A certain prophet named Elijah, who stayed with a widow lady who had just enough oil and just enough meal every day that they needed to sustain themselves. I don't need more than that. The point is, God can and God will supply. Now, if we're looking for that big drop of cash immediately, whoo, not going to happen. Because trusting God is not trusting the bank account. Trusting God is saying, Lord, this is what we got to do. And we believe you're going to do it. And we're going to take that step of faith and begin moving forward. I don't know where it's coming from. But I know that God will provide, because I believe I'm doing God's will. And I know that God is faithful. Is that right? So the finances shouldn't be something to scare us off. We should see it as an opportunity to trust God. It's a reality we have to face, okay? Doesn't matter what we do, it's a reality we have to face. But we don't quit because we don't see it. We look to the one who provides. Finances are an important part. And then personnel. Personnel. We got to have people. It's not going to happen if we don't have people. Remember what first thing you were praying for? Personnel. We need people who are willing to commit their time. Brother Pittman in Winston-Salem has helped his people to see that they need to make that commitment of time. And they, as a church family, work together to get the work done. Going out on visitation at two different times during the week, what fits best in their schedule. Every other Saturday, they have a commitment of time that they're going to do a children's ministry on Saturday afternoon to be able to reach out to the children in that community. They call it Exodus. Why do they call it Exodus? Because they're taking the children out from where they're having the bad influence to give them an opportunity for a good influence for a period of time. And it's just an opportunity, but the people have to commit themselves. The pastor said, we're not doing it. It's all in the hands of the people of the church. And they're doing it. They're committing themselves. It's an understanding of the commitment of time and the understanding of the opportunities that are before them. A lot of times, we don't have people doing work that needs to be done because they don't know what needs to be done. Nobody's ever told them. They don't understand what the opportunities are. And so we need to make sure that they understand that. And so I ask the question, will you join with us to reach the world right where we are? Reaching the fatherless is a part of carrying out the Great Commission. Doing the work that Jesus Christ gave to the church to be done during this period of time. I pray that today will be a day that helps us to open our eyes, that helps us to be able to understand the privilege that God has given us to serve Him this way. And it may be that God would reveal to you something that you could do in your church, in your community, to make a difference. Father, help us during this day to do things that will please you in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.